Man, I look around, there's churches on Sunday morning don't have this big of a crowd. What a blessing it is to be back in the Lord's house this evening. Good to have a few visitors with us. I pray that somebody's already made you feel welcome, because truly you are welcome. You're in the Lord's house. If you've got a copy of God's Word, we'll flip the Bible open to the oldest book of the Bible. You say, which one is that? That would have to be the book of Job. Chronologically speaking, it is the oldest recorded work. And it'll be in chapter number 1 that we turn to start with. And let me say, it's just a pleasure to be here tonight and be able to share God's Word with you yet again. Got just a few we'll mention. Brother Tommy McGlamory did get to come home from the hospital today, having received some fluids from his transplant kidney. And he's back in the saddle again, so you pray for Brother Tommy as he recovers at home. Don't forget Sister Jean Potts and Sister Mary Sluter, and also continue praying for those that are homebound that we've been trying to pray for some time in the nursing homes, Janie and Miss Ruth, Brother Cliff and Miss Ray, Sue, Stella McGlamory, Sue Church, all those that we pray for on a regular basis, Miss Oki, and I don't see Miss May tonight, so let's pray for her. She'd be here if she could. And Jean Potts, like I said, is over to nursing home. Pray for her. Miss Mary's coming home hopefully next week. Brother Steve Mahaffey, is he here tonight? Brother Steve is not here tonight, but he's doing his pre-op and all that stuff, getting ready for his surgery next week. He'll be having a total knee replacement, so let's pray for him. Don't usually give you a whole lot of prayer requests out here, but whenever it bears interest on some of you to ask me or text me or something, I try to give you an update if I know it. And since we're here tonight, I just didn't put out a phone tree to tell you all that I just told you, but Brother Tommy did get to come home, so let's continue praying for him. Tonight, if I was, Brian Ford's not here tonight, is he? Girl, Brian's not here. If I were to ask you, do we all have sayings that we say? Somebody put that out there on Facebook the other day about what did your pastor say? Some of y'all were saying stuff that I say, but I don't even know that I say it. What do y'all put on there that I say, Brother Chris? I know you're laughing. What is it, Chris? You want to share it with the crowd? Oh. What do I say, Brother Greg?
Anything to pick on Chris.
Anything to pick on Chris. What? What do I have any sayings? Are y'all all right? Are y'all all right tonight? Everybody all right? Don't answer this, Brother Archie. What's Brother Archie say? Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. That's a good thing to do. Praise God. Right, Brother Archie? You're in his house. Praise God. Some do this and some say that. If I were...
What?
What did he say? Y'all all right? What does Brian Ford's testimony usually start off? Is Miss Kim here? Kim, you backslid. Does anybody know what Brian Ford starts off with? Just about 9 times out of 10 when he stands up, what does he say? Some of y'all go ahead and say it, because you already know what I'm thinking about. What's he say, girls? You don't want to tell on him. Kim? We are blessed, but what does he usually start off with? Chris? Y'all know that Brian, is that a Rhode Island accent or is that New Jersey or where is that? Somebody's over here said it. I'm going to get it in Brian's vernacular. Where is that, Rhode Island or what is that, Kim? New Jersey. Here's Brian Ford. We're blessed. That's right. And the next thing he says, we need to pray for our youth. That's the way he said it. We need to pray for our youth. So that's tonight. This is Brian's message. I hope you'll take him a copy. That we need to pray for our youth. That's the message tonight. We need to pray for our youth. We've got a whole generation coming up behind us that if somebody's not praying for them, there's a good chance that they won't hear the gospel. There's a good chance that somebody will sell them out on some liberalistic viewpoint of what the gospel is supposed to be about. They'll sell them out on some humanism, or they'll sell them out on some Scientology. They'll sell them out to just do good and live right, live upright, do good and live moral and do the best you can. And when it's all said and done, God will just sort all this stuff out. Now, Brother Brian's right. We need to be praying for our youth. If there's ever been a time, I've got at least one school teacher back here. It's difficult teaching. Is it not difficult when kids come from broken homes and this family doesn't? Miss Jenny was here tonight. She'd weigh in on it really quickly. I think it was last year, the year before, maybe the last year of her teaching, that she had a class of about 28 students, Miss Wanda, and I think only two still had mom and daddy in the house. Out of that, 26 kids that don't have two parent family, but yet that's what the teachers are having to deal with. My daughter, being an educator herself, she sees it. They come in and they're so troubled because there is no structure at home. Their daddies are absent. Their mamas are working two or three jobs trying to keep the bills paid, because daddy's not paying any kind of child support or alimony to keep in the home. We need to pray for them kids. We need to pray for our youth. And if you see this tonight, as we get in here, we'll be there in just a minute. I do want you to understand, a message that Brother Ricky Gravely preached inspired this. I got to hear Brother Ricky just a couple weeks back up at Cherry Grove. And I'm telling you, he's a great friend of mine, but he preaches. And if you want to catch Brother Ricky in action, go out on YouTube. I know most of you have some type of electronic marvels, and you can tune into YouTube, or you can get it out there some way. There's another one called Sermon Audio. It's an app that you can download, and you can listen to, I guess, millions of messages. Thousands upon thousands of messages. You pick your favorite one. If you like Brother Barry Spears out of Lugoff, South Carolina, go on there. He'll be on there. And all these messages loaded into Sermon Audio, you can hear them. But this message that I heard was inspired by Brother Ricky Gravely. And Brother Ricky's like we are. They run about the same congregation size that we do. Got a couple hundred people on any given service. And just loves the Lord. But the big thing that Brother Ricky, and the same thing as Brother Steve Pope, another good friend of mine, Brother Brian Cardwell, Brother Jonathan Barker, all of the preachers are the same place that I'm at in my ministry. In that we've got a whole lot of young people. And I thank God for them. Because Brother Chris, where you been? Going from church to church, filling in the pulpits and doing a little pulpit supply. You're finding out that the average congregation is above 60 years old. And there's very few young people. Calvary, we have been blessed. And we are the exception rather than the rule, in that we've got a lot of young people here. Now, having said all that, we're going to get into this in just a minute. For those that are usually looking for a children's church, there's not been a children's church for the past 2-3 weeks. I did not realize that when we handed out the sheets that the recommendations of the nominating committee had made, that Brother Jody and Jamie had backed off of that. They sent me a text and we were going to talk, and we never made that talk. Their names did not get taken off the sheet. Therefore, at the present time, right now, at this very moment in time, we do not have directors for the children's church. Now, when I say that, if you feel something down in your stomach starting to nudge you, you probably need to come see me. We'll talk to the nominate committee together. We'll pitch it back to the whole of the church and let the church decide if they want to have it. Historically, Jerry and Martha did it for a few years, and then there was nobody to take it, and it went to the wayside. And then Brother Tommy and Miss Mary Doris, God sent them here. They took it for a few years, and it was up and running. They felt it was time then to give that to somebody else. They wanted to be in the Wednesday night service to hear the message, and then it kind of, it may have went away, or it may have been whenever Brother James and Miss Lori took it for a while. But anyway, right now, the children's church, as it is standing on Wednesday nights, called the Calvary's Kids, does not have directors. That's why your kids are still up here. So if somebody's feeling that, the nominate committee can meet again. But what we'll do is we'll be praying. In the meantime, we'll put our heads together. And if we approach you, then we're coming to you. But if somebody in here tonight is qualified and got the ability to teach and would like to do that, come see me. We'll talk to the nominate committee, and then we'll get to the whole of the church. But anyway, I had you turn to the book of Job, chapter number 1. We will stand and reverence the reading of God's word tonight. And I just want to preach tonight on the need of prayer for our youth. Now, this will be the last message that I preach to my daughter, as it is my daughter. You said she'll always be your daughter. She leaves the authority of her father on Saturday. You said you're always going to be her daddy. The Bible says that she is to submit unto what? her own husband. And that upset her. She's going to have one of those. I have no more authority over her, because the Bible says she is to leave her mother and father, and she's supposed to cleave unto that one which she marries. That's just Bible. Whether you like it or not, that's the way that it lines up. But this is the last message that my daughter will hear from her daddy regarding me praying for her as far as my daughter. I will never cease to pray for her. I pray for Mara and for Preston all the time. I can't call out one without calling out the other. But I do not interfere with Mara and Preston's lives, but I do pray for them, Brother Tam. There's no doubt in my mind, with Joseph and Missy going down toward Atlanta for so many years, your prayer didn't stop at the state line. Your prayer followed them down there and has followed them back. And you will do the same thing for Thomas and for Miss Jordan and for your new grandbaby. You will do that. And that's the way this thing works. But as of tonight, baby doll, this is your last message as daddy and daughter in this relationship, as you being under my roof, because you won't be here Sunday. You'll be on your little trip. But as it stands tonight, Brother Ryan, when Carrie married and Miss Stephanie married, they didn't come back and fall under you. They didn't do that. Joe is now the head of that household, and Miss Stephanie is in subjection to her own husband, in submission to him, as is Carrie unto Troy. That's why, Troy, it's honorable for you to walk worthy before the Lord. Why? Because you got a wife now to take care of that's looking to you for the spiritual need of the home. You are the high priest of your home, whether you know that or not. You are that. You're that moral, upright man that's got to say, this is the way our household is going to be run. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And it's up to you to do that. And you better take it responsibly, because you've got a baby. And that baby will soon be here. And then that baby's going to need the same thing that his daughters needed. And you've got to bring them up in the fear and the admonition of the Lord. There is a grand need in this life and in this late day to pray for the young people. So Brother Brian is right. We need to pray for our youth. The Miles, you got a son in San Francisco. Oh, San Fran. You don't stop praying just because he's on the other side of the Mississippi, do you? No, you'd love that youngin', and you'd love to see him out here, but you wouldn't interfere for the rest of anything. You wouldn't interfere for nothing. It's like I said Sunday, I'd rather have them on the other side of the globe and in God's will than living in my doorstep and be outside of God's will. I just wouldn't want that. You said, well, you're in the book of Job talking about praying for our young people. That's what God said, so you take it up with God. There's a few things about Job. Job was a perfect man. You saw he was without sin, though. The Bible said he was perfect. I didn't say he was perfect. I mean, he's honorable in the sight of God. We'll read it, and then I'm about ready to preach the message. I ain't even getting here yet. The Bible says in Job, chapter 1, verse 1, y'all there? Amen. Say amen if you are there. Amen. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. That man was perfect and upright, one that feared God and eschewed evil. That word eschewed, if you were looking it up, means shunned. There were born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. So he's got 10 kids. His substance was 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 she asses, and a very great household. So that this man was the greatest of all the men of the east. His sons went and feasted in their houses every one of his day, and sent and called for their 3 sisters to eat and to drink with them. Now listen in verse number 5, because this is where I will primarily be for the rest of this message. I say primarily because I will be making references to some scriptures over in the book of Proverbs, as well as into the book of Psalm, chapter number 127, and the book of Proverbs, chapter number 22, more than likely. And it says, and it was so, when the days of their feasting were gone about, that Job sent and sanctified them and rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings unto the number of them all. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus did Job continually. I'm going to ask Chris Barker to pray for us and bless our scripture. As you're being seated, man, God says a lot about this man in the first few verses of the book of Job. Job was probably in his day, Brother Archie, according to the scripture, nobody quite like him. And the fact that the Bible called him a perfect man, that's an honorable man. The Bible said that Job was perfect. Now, I didn't say Job was perfect. The Bible said Job was perfect. Therefore, God said that Job was perfect. And that doesn't mean that he was sinless, but what it does mean is that he had a complete upright character about him, that he walked with God. The Bible talks about people that walked with God. God. Enoch was a man that was, he probably could be said about Enoch, that he was perfect. He walked with God, and his walk was upright before God. And the Bible said that Enoch walked with God, and he was not, because God took him. Well, here we're reading about this man by the name of Job. The Bible said about Job that he was a perfect man. So how does a Bible, how does a man in the biblical time become perfect? He does the things that Job did, and you would have to read the entire accounting of the book of Job and find out exactly where he was at with God. I can't imagine too many of us, Brother Tam, that goes through in a 24-hour period. It wasn't over a period of a year, Brother Chris. The Bible said, and while one was yet talking, another came in. And while one was yet talking, another came in. And while he was talking, another came in. And it so happened that he lost his land, he lost his children, he lost his cattle, he lost his livestock, he lost his livelihoods, what he lost. But the Bible said that Job was a perfect man. So when we look at that, how does a man without a Bible, a man, Brother Chris, on the other side of the law, a man that's got all of this, how does he live holy? How does he live morally? And how does he live so close to God that he would know to do good and that he would leave the wrong away and turn away from that? The Bible said he loved God. He was one that feared God and that he eschewed evil. Our brother, he run away from sin. He pushed back from that that would cause him trouble. And that's the first thing I'd say. You men of God, run away from trouble. Brother Ryan, when trouble comes up against your door, bless God, you better eschew it. You better shun it. You better turn it away, because the Bible said that there is a price to pay for sin. And once that sin creeps in, that thing, it might come in through the smallest little crack or crevice, but once it's in, Brother Kenny, until that thing's confessed and dealt with, it's still in. And it ain't going out of there anytime soon. So we see that Job was a perfect man. In verse number 1, it tells us that he was a perfect and upright man, one that feared God and eschewed evil. But then also, if you look down through verses number 2 through 4, the Bible said that Job was a very prosperous man. He prospered in that he had all those thousands of animals. Brother, he had lands and he had livestock. He had grain coming in. He had crops to take his animals, take care of his animals. And on top of that, he had 10 children, 10 mouths to feed, Brother Kenny. But bless God, he didn't just feed them youngins. He was teaching them the same thing that I'm hoping that I taught my daughters, some things about God, that whenever they grow up and they didn't go on their own way, Brother Tim, they won't forget those things. And I told you I'd probably refer to the book of Proverbs. Here it comes. The Bible said if you'll train up a child in the way that it should go, then there's a time. Yes, Brother Kenny, it might do this and it might do that. But the Bible said when it's old, it will not depart from those teachings. Now listen, that's good for Grandma. Is that right, Miss Judy? Is there anything sweeter than Ella and Addie in your mind? I don't care what you got in your mind. It's got to be Ella. It's got to be Addie. There's always something about them youngins. And they're grandchildren unto you, but bless God, you're grandpa and grandma unto them. And you've got a duty too, Brother Gary, to help mama and daddy, to raise those children in the fear of the Lord and the admonition. When the kids come over to see Papa, bless God, they ought to know Papa's all about some God. Papa's about the Lord. Don't relinquish your duties as a daddy or a mama to the grandparents, but as grandparents, don't shrink back from it. Don't back up from it. You bear down right there, Brother Kenny. When Nicole comes over there, or Lisa comes over there, Nicole to Tim saying, well, you can correct Nicole if you can. But anyway, when your youngest come around, you ought to be living right before them and before your grandchildren. Like I said, you parents, don't give that over to mom and daddy. You going to trust your mom and daddy? You going to trust your mom and daddy to raise your youngins right? No, you had to do it yourself. But grandpas and grandmas, you got a great impact. Ain't no doubt in my mind, Noah and Miss Hope, he's looking at grandpa and he's seeing what's going on with grandpa. That's why it's important for every one of us to live holy, to live upright, to live righteous before an almighty God. Brother Danny, we might not be like Job. We might not be considered perfect, but bless God, we are saved. If you're saved by God's grace, you're to live like it. And you're to show it on down to your kids. But the Bible said, listen, there's nothing wrong with having stuff. Don't you dare get me wrong. There's nothing wrong with having stuff. The Bible said, well, a rich man ain't going to get to have that. Ain't what the Bible said. The Bible said it was harder for a rich man to go through the eye of a camel to go through the eye of a needle than it was for a rich man to get into heaven. Now, I ain't talking about some sewing needle. It's talking about them little sheep gates, them little holes hewn out in the rock. They tell me, and I've never been over there, but if you'll read the research on it, that's called the eye of the needle. And for a camel to be able to get through there, he had to be fully unloaded. You didn't just have to unload him, Brother Ken. But once you got him unloaded, you had to get that camel down on his knees. And then once you got him down on his knees, Brother Kenny, you had to then get his head down low. And then once he got his head down low, he could get through there. But whether you had a one humper or a two humper, you still had to get the hump through the needle. So you're saying, what was all about that? It was hard for the camel to get through there. And it's hard for a rich man to get into heaven, because that rich man is prospered, he's got goods, and he doesn't really see the need to pray for the cross. He doesn't see the need to do it. Why? Because he's rich and he's increased with good, and he really don't see the need for God. But my goodness, folks, it doesn't mean that he can't go, because Job is a picture of this. God took everything away from him, but yet he still honored God. Yes. You can still honor God. So when I say he was a perfect man or a prosperous man, don't think that you're not, well, because I'm not perfect, I'm just going to throw in the towel. No, don't give up. You're saved. You can still love God. And in his eyes, but Tim, because I preached a mess here, what, 6 months ago, that y'all are perfect, or we're all perfect. You remember that? Y'all don't remember that. I preached a message about being perfect. I hit that one again. We're perfect because of him. The Bible tells us we're perfect because of the blood. We were made perfect by his shed blood on Calvary. The Bible teaches that. But Job was perfect, and he was a prosperous man as well. He had faith. He had family. No doubt he had friends. He had a whole lot going on. But we're going to get down here to the part that I want to hit on for the major part of this tonight, is that he had a family. And those kids were looking to daddy. There's no doubt in my mind. You said, yeah, but he lost them all. But if he did his part, Brother Ryan, they all got to go to heaven. They all got to go to heaven. What more could a man want, Brother Kenny, than his children to die and go to heaven? That's the greatest thing that a man could. I remember Brother Claude Lloyd. He preached a message up here, a revival up here, the pastor of Rocky Ford Baptist Church. And he lost a daughter. I think she was 17 years old when she died. And he preached her own funeral. And everybody asked Brother Claude, said, how in the world did you preach your own daughter's funeral? And he said, because I know where she went. Now, that'd be hard. I don't know if I could do that. I hope and pray I never have to go down that road. But I'm telling you, pray for your young people. Pray for your children. Pray for the youth in our church. Pray for the youth in your family. But not only, and here we go, not only was he perfect, and not only was he a prosperous man, but verse number 5 is where we're going tonight. We'll be here the remainder of the night. Job was a praying man. And you'll see it right there. The Bible said that he offered up burnt offerings. He didn't know what all they got into. Tam, did you know everything Thomas Cheek got into? And you don't want to. I promise you. Wayne Hall, I guarantee you he knows about 1/1,000th of a percent, Ryan, what we did. If he knew the rest of it, we wouldn't be preaching tonight, because we would be dead. Am I being honest? Does anybody here not get away with anything? See, we all got away with something. I guarantee, Allie, you got away with stuff. You get with your daddy later and you can confess it. But right now, you've got away with something. Yeah, I see you, Halo. She's back here doing this. Tam, y'all didn't see Allie back there with her halo on. It was propped up by two horns. I promise you, your mom and dad didn't know everything you did. Nor everything that we did. Nor everything that we do now. I guarantee you, Robert Church, I'm looking at you because you know. You're guilty. If anybody's guilty in here, look at Robert's face. But Job was a praying man, because let's read that verse again. It was so that when the days of feasting were gone about, that he rose up early, and that Job sent and sanctified them. You said, what is that sanctifying? It means that he set his children apart for the work of God. He sanctified them unto the calling that God hath placed on Job's life. You said, if that's on the other side of the law and it's on the other side of grace, where in the world? He walked with God, Brother Tam. He communed with Almighty God. And when he walked with God and talked with God, there's no doubt in my mind, you walk with somebody and you talk with somebody, there's a good chance you're going to start acting like somebody, and you're going to start learning from whoever you're walking with. That's why, young people here tonight, it's important for you to yoke up with the right people, run with the right crowd, get with people that will sharpen you and raise you up and lift you closer to the cross, rather than somebody going to dumb you down or get you involved in some kind of sin or some kind of debauchery that you should have left alone a long time ago. Because, Brother Troy, you know that you're associated with whoever you run around with. I know know who you roomed with when you were off at college. You roomed with my nephew. Now, I praise God for that because both of you are preachers, and I thank God for that. But had you been up there with somebody that did crack cocaine and smoked pot and did all those things, there ain't much in my mind except that Troy's going to come home a pothead, having smoked and drank and all that. But you were up there with somebody else that loved God, and because he loved God, you love God. Bless God, I can see that working out. But children, you better learn who your friends are, who you can trust, and who you run around with. And parents, if you don't know who your kids are running around with, shame on you. You ought to ask, who are you out with last night? Who are you going to be out with tonight? When are you going to be home? So establish some boundaries. Set some guidelines somewhere. And then make sure that whenever they break the curfew or break the boundary, there has to be some kind of a consequence for that. Because if there's no consequence, they'll do worse the next time. Amen. Is this right or wrong? So we see that Job was a praying man as well as being perfect and prosperous, because he said these words. He said he sanctified them. He rose up early in the morning. He made burnt offerings according to the number for them all. In other words, he had 10 kids. He sacrificed something for every single one of them kids. And Job said, it may be. So who's Job talking to? Job's writing the scripture, but he's talking before God because he said that it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus did Job continually. Give you just a few quick things and we're going to go to the house. Parents, raising good children is going to cause you or make you sanctify them. Look at the first part. Look what it said. I'm just going to take it right from the scripture, not adding to it or taking it away. The Bible said when they were going, Job sent and sanctified them. You said, what is that sanctification? What is that what does it mean to sanctify them? It means that he set them apart. He called them out unto God. He put them in a position, Brother Kenny, there ain't no doubt in my mind, if there were any rabbis or any other spiritual leaders, masters, teachers in that day, he got them children close to those people. Why? That they might learn the things that be of God. In other words, he calls them to be consecrated or sanctified, set apart just for that very reason. Why? Because their salvation was at hand. You say, well, how'd they get saved? That's God, the same way we do. We get saved by grace unto God. They're looking toward a cross, Brother Kenny, a cross that would bear a Savior someday. Isaiah told about him coming, and bless God, God had always made a way. We're looking back, they're looking toward it, preacher, but bless God, he sanctified those youngins unto the cause of Christ, unto the teachings of God Almighty. And Brother Kenny, because he sanctified them, them youngins knew where daddy stood. Amen. You people ought to sanctify your kids. Set them apart. Set them aside, Miss Wanda, and make sure that when your grandchildren come over, that you tell them that, listen, God loves you. God has prospered Mama and Papa. I mean, bringing me through MS and bringing Brother Danny back from a tragic car accident. I want to tell you how good my God is. And you share that story with them, that someday they may have children and they can say, let me tell you what happened. Papa was up on the side of 16 Mountain and he had a terrible car accident and they had to take him out of there. He flatlined out 5 times. But bless God, there was some of my elders from the church got together, and because of faith in God, they anointed Papa. And because of that, I tell you, God raised him up and he got to serve 5, 6, 8, 10, 20 more years as a deacon at the church that he had been a part of. Tell the stories. Sanctify your youngins and keep them close to the cross. We ought to be praying for their salvation. We ought to be praying for their spiritual needs. You say, well, my kids don't have any spiritual needs. You'd be surprised at the needs of a 10-year-old, 13, 14, 15-year-old. Well, that's just puppy love. That's just this or that. But God, if it's important to them, you ought to listen to them. I'm serious. It's important enough to them to come to you about it. You ought to take it serious. You say, well, they don't have the problems I got. Their power bill ain't 3 weeks behind. They don't have a power bill yet. They don't have the problems you got because they don't have your problems yet, because they're not in your position yet. But when they've got problems, their problems are important to them, I promise you. You get with your kids sometime, your grandkids, they've got problems, but they just won't talk about it. Don't just write them off and say, well, you'll grow out of it, you'll grow over it, it'll go away. It might be important to them to come to you. And if you say, hey, no need to pray about something like that, you might ruin them. You may ruin them. You say, well, what should they be praying about? The same things you pray about. The things that matter, spiritual things. Miss Mara called, I can't remember when that Hurricane Michael come up and brought all that rain. Florence didn't do too much here, but Michael seemed to bring some rain. What day was that, honey? It was one day last week. It's not important what day. She called and that young was beside herself. If you hide your plane for... that scares you. How about if you hide your plane for about 5 to 10 seconds? And you can't go and you're on this side at the white line. And you're on this side on the white line. And you're all, everywhere in between because it's like you're driving on solid glass. That was Mara coming home from work the other day. She teaches at Freedom in Morganton, but she lives in Hickory. And she's coming up 40. And Brother Tam, she said if there'd been anybody beside her, anywhere around her, she said that everybody would have wrecked. You said, what'd you bring that up for? Because I pray for her safety. I'm honest with you. I get to see this little lady every time I come home at lunch, every day. And we hold hands and we bless our sandwich. I don't care what we're eating. But I guarantee you when we're blessing our food, every meal and every prayer we pray, we're praying, Lord, bring Macy home safe off the mountain. She works in Boone. I'm saying, Lord, watch over Macy. Watch over Mara. Take care of Jake and Preston. Preston's driving back from Winston-Salem. Jake's doing whatever Jake does. Macy's going to come off that mountain. And I pray for them. I pray for them. And I pray for them. Why? Because I know I'm praying for their spirituality. I want them to grow up healthy and whole. I want them to be sanctified. I want them to understand God. I want them to fear God and eschew evil. But I'm also praying for their safety, preacher. I want them to have what I've got, a long, healthy life. And it don't take anything, Brother Archie, but just a second out there because everybody doing everything under the sun but driving. They're eating and they're drinking. Chris is texting and everything's going. I'm serious. Everything's going on, Brother Tam. You go down the road and you're meeting somebody. They're reading a map or they're texting and you're trying to eat cereal and it's just a bad day for everybody. I'm serious. It's awful. So pray for their safety. Pray for them. Said something from the choir a while ago that this was the last service that Macy Hall would play the piano for the church at Calvary. And it's the truth. She'll take the gold's name. Pray for their service. That young has got a gift. She ain't the only one. Some of you Ford kids have been holding out, you bunch of sandbaggers. I'm serious. I come in the door and go downstairs. I'm like, who is that up there? And I look and it's Kayla or Brianna or Hannah or one of them up there just playing like crazy. And then sometimes I'll turn and there's Mia and these other kids are playing and they're sandbagging on Jesus. Kim, Brian, y'all ought to be praying for their service. Pray for them, that God might use them. Pray not just for their sanctification or separation. Pray not just for their safety, but pray for the service, the thing that they'll get into that might actually benefit the cause of Christ. Pray for them. Pray for them. We owe it to them to pray for them. Job, the Bible said that he sanctified them and he even made offerings on their account. Why? Brother Kenny, it didn't say because they got into everything under the sun. Does that say that? No, what's that say? It said that read that with me. Read it with me, Brother Kenny. What's that say in verse number 5? It said that they might. It may be that they have sinned. It didn't say that they have sinned, but Brother Job was making offerings, burnt offerings unto the Lord. There ain't no doubt in my mind when the smoke come up from the sacrifice, Brother Tam, that might have been the way they got up in the morning. I don't know because the Bible said he rose up early. He got up early and those kids was on his mind early in the day. He wasn't some afterthought at 11:30 when they didn't come home. He thought, good land, come in here, Miss Job. We got to pray for that young and he ain't home yet. No, Buster, he didn't wait till the end of the day. He didn't wait for the calamity. But he got up early in the morning and of his herd he went and took the sacrifice and he slew that and he had a burnt offering. It could just be that the smoke of that was what woke those kids up and they might have said, Daddy's out there and he's done killed the bullock again because I can smell the smoke coming off the burnt offering and that might be what woke them up every day. It could have been Daddy out there praying unto God saying, keep them safe, Lord. Sanctify them by your gracious name. It could have been all that. I don't know. I wasn't there. But I know one thing. Job, the Bible said that he feared God, he escheweth evil, and he sanctified his kids in verse number 5. He rose up very early in the morning. He didn't put it off at the very last end of the part of the day. He rose up early. Listen to me. Ultimately, every single one of us have a duty to pray for the young people. But I'm going to be honest with you. Get honest right here, Bill. I don't pray for your youngest like I do mine. I pray for the church as a whole. Robert, I pray for your family as a whole. I call your names out at times. But I don't pray for your children like I do my children. I'm honest. I don't, Kenny. To my shame or discredit, it is what it is. I'm being honest. I don't pray for your children the way that I pray for mine. Why? Because they're mine. That's why it's important for you to pray for Brian. It's important for you to pray for Kayla. It's important for you to pray for Chad. That's why it's important for each one to pray for our own. You said, but you're the pastor. You'll be praying for everybody's. I do pray for everybody's. But I just told you, I don't pray for yours like I do mine. I pray for mine every time I pray. Them youngins is in my prayers. Every time. But I can't say that I call out Connor and Elena Grace and BJ and Brianna and Kayla and Savannah and this one and that. I don't. Damn, I just don't. I might call out church as a whole. I call out your family. But I don't get down into the individual nitty-gritty family. I probably should. Not only does it involve sanctification, but the second part of that is that it involved a sacrifice. The Bible said that he offered up burnt offerings. So he offered up a sacrifice. How many of you have ever heard this saying that a sacrifice that costs you nothing is worth nothing? Some of you have a dedicated prayer life. You've got an appointed time. You've got an appointed place. And you meet the Lord in that place on every day. If you don't have it, you ought to get one. You ought to meet the Lord at an appointed time. Job did it very early. There should be some sacrifice. I can't turn off forensic files long enough to pray, preacher. I know there's some good episodes on there. You can get some good ideas. I mean, you can see some terrible stuff on there. I didn't say good ideas. Preacher, I can't get up early enough to pray. I'm already running 10 minutes behind. Should have left 5 minutes ago, and here it is 10 minutes later, and I'm still trying to find my sock. Should have got your socks out before you went to bed and got up just a few minutes earlier that you might have a little conversation with the Lord. Brother, I'm not talking about spending 30 minutes or an hour. You could do that, and if you've got that much time, then albeit do it, brother. Call everybody out. Call me out. Call me out twice. But you ought to be able to spend just a few minutes. Amen. I'm not talking about some 30-second prayer before you go to bed. Now lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep if I should die before I wake. I pray the Lord my soul to take. Amen. Go to sleep. Roll over. Gone. I'm talking about spending some quality time. Lord, I don't know what this day will hold, but I know you hold it. Pray a reasonable prayer to the God of the heavens, Brother Greg, that Miss Ava might be safe today, that God will migrate her to the right people. Pray the same prayer that other preachers are praying for their own flocks and people. Pray for what you're praying for. Pray that you got a baby boy on the way. You ought to be praying there's a little baby girl somewhere in some mother's womb that God would migrate your son to someday, that they could raise up a holy generation following you. You ought to be praying. I prayed that God would send godly people into my daughter's lives. I didn't know Reggie and Kathy Gold before I come over here, but I'm glad that God's raised up a couple fine boys over there. I'm glad for Adam. I'm glad for Jake. And I'm glad that there's people raising godly sons to the same standard that I'm trying to raise godly daughters. But it's my duty as a daddy to pray for these kids, to sanctify them, and then to do a little bit of sacrificing for them. You said, well, how far do you got to go to sacrifice? That depends on who comes to your house. You said, what's that all about? I'll tell you a little story. Larry Adams told this very pulpit. He said a boy comes down the driveway. He hits the end of Prospect Drive over there where it turns into gravel, coming down his driveway honking the horn. And he looks at his daughter, and she started crying. You said, what's that all about? Y'all heard the same story. He said, honey, go on up and change. You're not going out tonight. She said, but Daddy, I really like this one. He said, go change. Now, what did any good preacher do? Any good daddy do? He goes out. Can I help you, young man? Heard you coming down the driveway honking your horn. He said, yeah. Called her by name. Said, tell her to come out here. We're going out tonight. He said, no, you're not. If you ain't man enough to come in here and to meet Mama and Daddy, to listen to what we've got to say concerning our daughter, you're going to be taking her out. If you don't have that ability to get out of that car, you come down through here honking your horn, you better be delivering a pizza or package because you ain't taking nothing with you. Brother Larry told this, sure as I'm standing here. Brother Tim, you heard it. Brother Larry said that boy said, I'll get out of here and whoop you. Brother Larry said, well, all right. And he said he put his knee against that boy's door. And he said, I reared back. The little boy couldn't get out. He didn't want to get out. And he said he thucked that thing up in reverse and spun gravel all the way till he hit the thing, just a cussing out the window. Now, them colors really come out. Now, you said you believe Brother Larry Adams would have sacrificed himself to protect his daughter. I believe he would have spent a night in a hokey. I believe Brother Tam, if that little boy got out, Brother Larry would have sent him packing with a bloody nose, a lump on his head, and he'd have went out, Brother, a lot worse shape than he'd come in. You said, but he'd have got in trouble. He was willing to sacrifice for his daughter. And if you ain't willing, you said you're instigating and you're propagating and you're saying we ought to go out and beat everybody. No, I'm saying take care of your children. Amen. Love them in God. Love them in for His sake. Love them in Christ Jesus. Take care of them. Amen. You may have to sacrifice for them. Brother, if you got a bump in the middle of the night, you going to send one of your youngest check on that? No, I'm grabbing old Sig, and me and Sig's going, well, I used to have a chihuahua I took with me, but it's gone. I heard a bump in the night, and I grabbed Bailey one night, and I thought, I'm going to throw this dog on somebody. I really did. That thing's, what, 7 pounds? You remember that, Cindy? I said, this dog going to eat somebody alive. I don't know what I was doing. I was crazy. I think I'm still there. I didn't grab my gun that night. I grabbed the dog. I said, I'm going to throw this dog on somebody. Now, y'all are all laughing. You ain't going to like my next one. Be serious. I told you ain't going to like the next one. Be serious about it. You say, well, how are you going to work seriousness into this? Be serious. If you set a boundary, if you establish something, back that thing up. What good is it if you draw a line, a demarcation line in the sand, and they violate that? I hit a lick on this a little while ago, and then there's no consequence for going over that. Be serious about it. You said, but Daddy, you just don't understand. I probably don't. I know I'm antiquated. I'm outdated. I'm old-fashioned. I'm antique times two. To be antique, you got to be at least 20 years old. Is that what they tell me? So you're an antique times three. But you're out of touch, Daddy. You don't understand. I like him. I like her. I did this. Be serious. Ask questions. Honor God. And then when it's all said and done, I want you to see this. God will honor you. You said, but he lost all them same kids that he was talking about. Bless God, if they feared God and they eschewed evil and they were sanctified by God, they loved God and had sacrifices made unto God for them, they ain't a doubt in my mind that these 10 kids went to be with God. Right. Ain't no doubt. There ain't nothing there saying they didn't. Right. And what happened to 10? God gave them 10 more, did he not? He ended up with 20, 10 in heaven and 10 on earth again. So we got the double portion in that. Anyway, and then look at the back part of that. I'll close here in just a minute. The latter part of that verse said, thus did Job continually. What does that mean? What does that mean? He wasn't just serious about it, Brother Tam. He said he did it continuously. Consistently, he was steadfast in his upbringing. Be steadfast. I believe it to be Brother Kenny that just preached this message down here. I wasn't here to hear it, preacher, but did you just not preach a message about Ephesians chapter 6 and having done all, stand? That having done all and stand is a mark of being steadfast. Just plant your ground, brother. Brace yourself, plant yourself, and stand there. Because it's going to come up against you. You're going to face it. You face it in your ministry. You'll face it in your parenting. You'll face it in everything that you do in life, but you will face it. Somebody going to challenge you on how come you're doing that. Somebody going to come up with some viewpoint that's going to be contrary to the Word of God, but you're going to take the biblical account of it, and because you took the biblical account of it, you say, well, they say, well, you're just this or that. Bless God, if the Bible says it, go with it. Now, you listen to me carefully. Don't become pharisaical about it. You exalt yours above God, then you're going against God because you exalted yourself above Him. God says what He says. You don't need to help Him. We don't need to add to it. But bless God, it says what it says. And whenever it said in here that He did this continually, what are you saying, preacher? I want you to flip over with me just a minute to the book of Psalms, chapter number 127. 27 talks about some young people here. And I want to hear this. I preached a message a long time ago about the polished shaft and how that the arrow is chosen by the archer. And whenever the archer chooses that arrow, he takes that piece of wood and then he polishes the shaft, Brother Chris. He tunes it down and he whittles away until he gets that arrow. Troy, it's as straight as the archer can make it. What's he do? He sharpens it on a point. And once he gets that thing sharpened on a point, he knocks it on the back. He puts the fletching on it. Why? Because he wants that thing to go straight. The fletchings are your prayers. The point that you make, Brother Tam, that is your teaching. You teach that child and bring them up in the fear and the admonition of the Lord to make them sharp to a point that whenever God's got a work for them to do, bless God, when you send them out to do it, they'll be stuck to it. It'll work. That point is just that way. It's sharp. That flesh is the prayers and the teachings and everything that not only mom and daddy, but grandpa, the pastor, the Sunday school teacher, that's all the things that we've done to help that thing to fly true, to soar straight, to hit its intended mark later on. But the Bible says in the 127th division, the book of Psalm, the Bible said, we'll just read that whole little psalm. The Bible said, except the Lord build the house, they that labor in vain, that build it. Keep the city, the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for he giveth his beloved sleep. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are the children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them, and they shall not be ashamed, but he shall speak with the enemies of the gate. You might say that Job had a quiver full. He had 10 kids. How many of you in here today is a member of 10 kids or more in a family? Raise your hand. There's a few of you around. That was common back in that day. My mama was one of 13. If they'd have all lived, there'd have been 20 of them. But you had some or 16. Of them, whatever it was. There was a stillbirth, a smallpox, and some of those typhoid fevers, some of them early fevers that people have. It took them out. But 13 of them made it to adulthood to have their own family. You don't hear about that much anymore. But in the large family, the Bible said that Job had 10 of them, Brother Tam. You might say that he had a quiver full. But let me tell you, as the Bible uses two words here, one of them is arrow and the other is a quiver. A quiver is a keep. That's where you keep them. You keep them in a leather pouch on your quiver, on your side. You keep them on your back like Robin Hood, or maybe you keep them on your bow. The thing that you can put them right on your bow. That's where my quiver's at. But those arrows were not made to stay in a quiver. Those arrows were made to do something. They were made to soar. They were made to fly. And you can take that thing and polish it and hone it and fletch it and get that thing as sharp as it can be. You can even take it out of the quiver to be meat for the archer. And then you can put that thing in the nock and put it on the string. And you can hold that thing until its intended target. And then you can draw that thing back. And if you don't ever let that thing go, you'll never hit its mark. You'll sit there with that thing at full draw, and you can carry it around all day long, Brother Archie. You might even let the knock, let the string down to give yourself some rest. But unless you pull that thing back and then you let that thing go, that arrow will always stay in the quiver. And arrows weren't meant to be in the quiver. That Titanic was made to sail. Boats are made to sail. Horses are made to run. And kids are made to raise and get up and do the same thing that you did. The Bible said that a man, when God made man, he said it's not good that man should be alone. And maybe that's why I'm preaching this message tonight, that Jake and Macy might be able to hear this. It was not good that Jake should be alone. That's the Bible. You said you're changing the words. The Bible said it's not good that man should be alone. Is Jake a man? He ain't much of one just yet, but he's coming on pretty quick. And the Bible said that it's not good that he should be alone, so God made him a helpmeet. And when he made him a helpmeet, he gave him somebody that would love him and support him and honor him and prop him up and pray for him. And that's the way that this thing worked, Brother Kenny. Why? Because God made everything else. He said, it's good. He made the plants. He made the animals. He said, that's good. Boy, that's good. And then he made man. And he said, that's not good that man should be alone. So he made him a helper. You say, what's that all about? Raise kids, because there's going to come a time when the archer's going to pull it out of the quiver. I'm letting my last arrow fly. I've honed it. Me and Mama's polished it. We've sharpened it. We fletched it with prayers. We brought it over here. And for the last 10 years, do y'all realize, Brother Tam, this little 11-year-old youngin come in here. And y'all helped sharpen her. Some of y'all dulled her. No, you helped
to make her. You taught her in the Bible schools. You taught her in the Sunday schools. You worked with her at youth events. You took her to youth camps and youth retreats and jubilees and this and that and festivals and youth revivals. You took them. You took interest and you invested in my children. You helped them to become what they are. And right now, Brother Archie, they pulled out. She's not on the archer's bow. Right now, Brother Tam, on the Wednesday night prior to the Saturday wedding, she's just about at full draw. I'm going to let her go. Many of you have come to me and said, are you sad? Are you crying? No, I'm not. I might cry Saturday. I don't know. I bawled like a baby when Mara was married. But this is what God planned for her. I know that. I'm good with that. I'm thankful for that. I'm going to let her go. But one thing I will do, Macy, I will continue to pray for you. The same as I started out, this, you've been sanctified, set apart to do a work for God. I've been steadfast in my prayers because it's serious. Everything that I just give you is right there in the scripture, that fifth verse of scripture. You say, well, go on beyond that and read about the life of Job. I'm showing you that Job was a perfect and upright man that prospered greatly. Brother Tam, he had it going on when it come to the things of earth and things of there. He persevered through all kinds of hardships, even after his children and his oxen and his camels and his land. When the Chaldeans fell on it, took everything away from him, he still prospered. He still persevered in the end. He said, God taketh, giveth, and God taketh away. The Lord giveth, and the Lord taketh away, but blessed be the name of the Lord. And God give it back to him. But I don't think in his life that Job regretted serving God. I don't believe that at all. Brother Scott, are you still back there, son? Miss Macy, if you will come and get us a song of invitation.